Welcome back. You're listening to the J-Pop Exchange. I'm Sean Bird, your host for the show. Joining me right now is Chris Broad. As I mentioned at the start of the show, Chris Broad's popular YouTube channel, Abroad in Japan, has over 800,000 subscribers and has great videos about living in Japan. Recently, Chris created and released the documentary film Natsuki the Movie.
Hi, I'm Chris Broad from the Abroad Japan YouTube channel, and you're listening to the J-Pop Exchange with Sean Bird.
Hi, Chris. Thank you for your time. It's great to be able to speak with you.
Hi, Sean. Thanks for having me on the show.
What brought you to Japan in the first place, and what led you to stay?
I think, in a word, the reason I came to Japan was adventure. I always knew after school that I wanted to try living abroad somewhere, preferably somewhere in Asia with a very different culture. And Japan was the top of my list because I knew Japan. I found Japan had a very strong sense of identity in everything I knew about it. And for a lot of people living in the UK, I found that we all want to go to Japan, but it's too far away to go on holiday, and it's a lot of effort. And I thought, rather than go for a 2-week holiday, I'd rather live there and try and immerse myself in the culture and come to terms with what makes Japan so unique. So that was why. I mean, I didn't really know a great deal about Japanese culture. I wasn't big on my anime or manga. And so it was more just the curiosity of the country itself. And the reason I stayed is I planned to go there for about a year or two, work as a teacher. But after 2 years, I found that there was still so much I wanted to do and learn. And I found a kind of connection with Japan and Japanese culture that I didn't think I'd actually have. So once I immersed myself in Japan, I felt like this is it. This is somewhere I want to stay, and I want to try and learn the language and get to know the country a bit better. And 2 years goes really fast anyway when you're teaching and working. So I felt like after 2 years, I'd only scrape the surface, and I wanted to go a bit deeper and stay. And that's why I stayed.
Very interesting. And what inspired you to create your YouTube channel, Abroad in Japan?
Originally, I started my YouTube channel as a kind of means of letting my family and friends back in the UK know that I wasn't dead. Because it's very far away, and I felt like there had to be some way I could try and keep in touch with everyone, because I don't do phone calls or Skype much, and that made sense at making videos. But fundamentally, I always had an interest in filmmaking back at school, and so that kind of felt like a really good way to realise that. And after about two years, I mean, I always joked. I always said, if the channel reaches 100,000 subscribers, I'll do it full time. I'll actually go and do it full time. But I never actually anticipated that. I didn't expect it to happen. So when that did happen after 2 years, I realised that this is something I could do full time. And I decided to do it full time after I finished teaching. And I'm still doing it now, 5-6 years later.
Wonderful. You studied filmmaking before you came to Japan. Has that been a help to you in developing your YouTube channel?
Well, the best thing about YouTube is it's very practical. It's a very practical thing. You go out, you make a video, you learn from your many mistakes, and then you get on with the next one. So through doing YouTube, I've come a long way just by doing practical things, right? I didn't really study that much filmmaking. I did it at A-level in the UK, which is kind of just before college. It's 2 years. And we just had to analyse a lot of films. But there wasn't a lot in terms of making films. I used to make little films with the camcorder I had as a hobby, as making like videos for my friend's birthday. Whenever it was my friend's birthday, we'd make a video and kind of do a little show to entertain everyone. So that's what we did. But practically, yeah, I hadn't really got a lot of experience. It was just doing things and actually starting YouTube. I mean, if you go back and watch the first videos I made, they're not that good at all, really. And they've come a long way since then. Having made 130 videos, you learn a lot along the way. But if you ask any filmmakers for advice on filmmaking, they all say the same thing, which is go and watch as many movies as you can, learn from watching and stuff. So I try and watch at least one or two videos a week, and I learn from doing that. So, yeah, and that's definitely helped the channel. And also, what I watch a lot of TV. British TV has been a massive influence on my presenting style and editing style. So, yeah, rather than go out and watch other YouTube channels, I just try and watch TV and learn from it that way. because the quality bar is higher there. So I thought it'd be a good way to learn rather than replicating and copying other vloggers.
Interesting. Do you have a favorite video that you developed for your YouTube channel?
I've got a lot of videos that I'm quite proud of. I mean, my stance has always been to spend lots of time on making a video. I spend like 7 to 10 days per video, whereas a lot of vloggers spend, I think, a day or two just doing it. But my philosophy was, if I spend a lot of time making a good, high-quality video, it can stand the test of time, right? It can still be watched by people years later. And people do. People do watch videos that I made 5 years ago, which is really, really rewarding for me. The three videos off the top of my head that I really like, I made a video about a Japanese love hotel culture. It's called Inside a Japanese Love Hotel, and we go inside a love hotel where couples go to relax and spend time outside of their thin-walled apartments, and that's quite a funny video. Check that out. Monster Ramen Challenge. I went to Akihabara, the pop culture capital of Tokyo, with my good friend Natsuki, and we did this challenge where we had to both eat two humongous bowls of ramen and went head-to-head. I'm not going to spoil who won, but that was a lot of fun. And more recently this year, I made my first kind of documentary-style video. It's about 20 minutes long, and it's about how the coastal region in Tohoku has changed following on from the incredibly big, terrible, disastrous tsunami that came and washed it away 6 or 7 years ago. Well, yeah, 7 years ago now. So I made a documentary about how the tsunami had affected people's lives and how actually from this terrible event there was some positive things that came from it, in the sense that it made the region a lot more entrepreneurial and has taken a region that was historically economically deprived and reinvigorated it a bit. Obviously the tsunami was a terrible thing, but there are some good things that can come from every disaster, and that's what I tried to focus on. So those are the three videos off the top of my head that I'm kind of proud of.
Interesting. We'll have links to those on our website. How did you learn Japanese? And do you have any advice for those that are interested in learning Japanese?
I learned Japanese when I moved to Japan. I think I learned hiragana characters, like the 150 characters of hiragana and katakana, before I came to Japan. But really I came with no knowledge, and I did that on purpose. I thought it'd be quite a fun transition to go from knowing nothing and not being able to read or understand the world around me to actually being able to communicate. And it took about a year to have a real difference in that. I used to sit in my apartment after I went and taught English. I'd come home, sit in my apartment and study for like six hours straight. And I really enjoyed it. I really enjoyed the process of self-study. And I was incredibly motivated as well, because as a teacher who couldn't communicate with their students, I felt a great deal of pressure. I felt like, I felt a sense of guilt, I guess, that students would come to me expecting me to be able to describe or explain some English grammar in Japanese, and I couldn't. And so I felt a lot of pressure, and that pressure motivated me to study incredibly hard in the first year. And there were some big results. Like after the first year, I could read like 1,000 kanji characters. I could have a conversation fluently, easily with people around me. In terms of advice for people learning, I would say, I'm going to shamelessly plug my videos here, but I've got quite a good playlist of videos on my channel explaining language hacking tips and advice that I learned along the way from my struggles, from people living in Japan that had from foreigners living in Japan that had learned as well. So I would recommend going and looking through a playlist on my channel or looking through the videos, because there's lots of useful tips there that will hopefully help you speed up the massive process of learning Japanese.
Yes, I've seen these videos. They are very helpful videos. And we'll have a link to those videos on our website as well. Please tell us the story about how you met Natsuki.
So one of the guys on my channel, the sort of second most prominent person, I guess, after myself on the channel, is a Japanese dude called Natsuki. He's a very good friend of mine. He's very eccentric, very wacky, and very popular. And I met him after 1 year of living in Japan. I really hadn't made many friends, which was partly because I'd spent a lot of time sitting indoors studying instead of going out, and partly because I found it really difficult to connect with people in Japan, actually, especially out in the countryside where people are very shy and don't really know how to act around foreigners. And so After a year, I didn't have any friends, and then one day, walking down the street in the evening, this guy just sort of shouted out to me, "Oh my God, hello." And I was like, "Hi, who are you?" And he, this guy was shocked and surprised to see a foreigner out there in the middle of nowhere in Yamagata, where I was working. And he sort of took me under his wing, and we went out for drinks, we went out to karaoke, and we got on really well. And he had an interest in British punk rock culture and rock music, and had an interest. And so we started meeting up every Thursday and kind of learned about each other's cultures. He taught me things about Japan and Japanese, and I taught him about English culture and helped him with his English. And yeah, his name was Natsuki, and he became a really big part of the channel. I started putting him in the videos. People loved him because he was so eccentric and charismatic. And yeah, since then, he's become very popular. And that led me more recently to make a kind of documentary about his life. So he's been on the video. He's been in the videos for 4 or 5 years now, and has a bit of a cult following. So I thought, now's the time to make a video about Natsuki. Now's the time to make this kind of documentary movie about his life. And so that's what I've been doing recently.
How did Natsuki the movie come to be? What inspired it?
Yeah, so as I said, Natsuki was a really big part of the channel. But I launched a Patreon, you know, the Patreon thing where you can crowdfund support. And one of my goals on that, I said, if we get 1,000 people supporting the Abroad in Japan channel on Patreon, we'll literally make Natsuki the movie. It was kind of a off-the-cuff remark, right? I didn't actually expect it to happen. But after a month or two of launching, we did hit 1,000 supporters on Patreon. And I realised, oh, God, I've got to actually make it now. So that's what initially kicked it off. But then there was just the fascination people had with Natsuki. He sort of came along every few months and popped up in the videos. Everyone loved him. Everyone thought he was quite funny. And then he'd disappear again. And so I thought it was the right time to kind of discover who he was and explore Natsuki's life in Japan and some of the struggles that comes with living in Japan. I mean, one of the focuses of Natsuki the movie was overwork. Natsuki is self-employed, but he's still overworked, and that was a topic. And also the idea of he's also, as I mentioned, into his punk rock music, right? And he always had a dream of being in a band, which he kind of gave up when he became an adult. And the film explores that, the notion of how many of us give up our dreams in adulthood, right? We kind of discard old dreams. Like I did, I discarded my dream of wanting to be a filmmaker, which I guess I resurrected to be a YouTuber and to make this film. So that's one of the things we explore. And it seems to have gone down well with viewers. So that's very rewarding. It took about 6 months to make, and we follow him going to Europe, this kind of fish out of water story of Natsuki travelling to Europe and all the things he does there. So go out and watch it. If you're interested in life in Japan or rock music or the idea of trying to find dreams that you've once given up, go and check out Natsuki the movie and hopefully you'll find it entertaining. Yeah.
Absolutely. I've seen it and I think people will definitely find it interesting. I guess we're going to have to link to that too. Switching gears, do you have any favorite Japanese musical groups or musical artists? Any favorite Japanese television shows or movies?
My favorite Japanese TV show, I didn't watch much anime at all before I came to Japan. But then I got here and I realized one of the best ways to learn Japanese is by watching anime, right? And the one I got immersed in the most is GTO, Great Teacher Onizuka. For those of you who don't know, it's quite popular. A lot of people do know it. It's about a Yakuza dude who becomes a teacher, for better or worse. Probably shouldn't be a teacher, but he becomes a teacher and he sort of oversees this really troublesome class and uses his Yakuza tactics to get the class into shape. It's pretty funny. His tactics basically involve being quite threatening and thuggish, if you want to know, to spoil it. But yeah, GTO is my favourite anime. Favourite Japanese filmmakers are Juzo Itami and Satoshi Kon. Satoshi Kon, he's made films like Perfect Blue, Paprika, Millennium Actress, Tokyo Godfathers. They're all anime, but they're very powerful films. And I remember watching those and thinking, wow, anime doesn't have to be for children. You know, it can handle really adult, strong topics. And that was the first time I really, after watching his films, I realised, wow, anime is amazing. And if you watch a lot of films like Christopher Nolan, you can see that his films have been influenced by Satoshi Kon's cinematography and filmmaking. And Juzo Itami, he's made my favourite Japanese film, which is Tampopo. Tampopo's kind of a ramen western, they call it. It's kind of a mock of a spaghetti western, a satirical take on spaghetti western. And it's about two guys turn up, one of whom is Ken Watanabe, Japan's most famous actor internationally. And it's about how these guys, these truck drivers, turn up at a underwhelming ramen shop and help the woman overcome loads of challenges and make the ramen shop good, basically. And that's quite a funny satirical film, and I loved it. I found something in it, something just about it that I loved. And I think it's just because it's so unique, and it kind of focuses on the human fascination with food and our relationship with food. And so I highly recommend checking that out, Tampopo. It's also made in the 80s, and anything from the 80s is good. And that actually leads me on to my favourite Japanese music. My favourite Japanese musician is Tatsuro Yamashita. He is a punk, he's not punk at all. He does funk music from the 80s, which is having a bit of a comeback and a bit of a resurgence on YouTube at the moment. Japanese 1980s city pop music. Go and listen to it. Go on YouTube, type in Tatsuro Yamashita. You can find compilations of his music and albums of his work. But you listen to it and you just kind of feel like you're in a 1980s disco in Tokyo. And I love it. It's very upbeat. It's very quirky and fun. And even though half the time I don't know what he's on about, to be honest, because he sings quite quickly, his songs are just kind of fun and upbeat. And often when I'm working, I just have it on in the background and it just cheers me up. So yeah, go and check him out. Tatsuro Yamashita. Or alternatively, just type in City Pop and you can listen to what people listened to in the 1980s and in Japan, and it's cool. You sort of listen to it and feel transported back in time.
Are there any clubs or music venues that you would recommend visitors to Japan check out?
My knowledge of clubs and music venues are limited, I'm afraid. When I go to Tokyo, I haven't really been clubbing that much, so not a lot I can really add there. Personally, if I did go to Tokyo, I'd sit in Yoyogi Park in Tokyo, and listen to city pop music and drink beer, because you can drink in public in Japan, so that's what I would do.
As far as visiting Japan, is there a time of the year or season that you would recommend? Are there any cities or rural areas that you would recommend people visit?
If you're coming to Japan, I definitely recommend visiting in either spring or autumn. For me, autumn's the best time of year because the temperature's just right. It kind of cools down. In the summer, it's like being in an oven or an incinerator, and it's not fun. Usually in summer, like it is now, I kind of have to sit inside under the air conditioning unit for 3 months and just endure it. The winter's too cold and too snowy. I don't like that either. Spring's nice. You've got the cherry blossom. Although it is quite busy, there's Golden Week in May, where everyone in Japan goes on holiday, and it's so busy that it's just not fun. So spring's all right, but avoid early May. But yeah, autumn, for me, autumn's where it's at. The temperature's perfect, and also the colours as well. You've got the autumn colours. It's kind of nature's fireworks display, and it's beautiful. So yeah, for me, autumn is where it's at. And for places to try, rural areas, if you're going to Tokyo, Hakone is quite nice. It's a really good hot spring resort, not too far from Mount Fuji. You can actually see Mount Fuji from it. And they've got some beautiful hot springs there and some nice lakes to explore. I mean, Tohoku, where I live, the giant northern region, the huge sprawling northern region that not many people explore, is definitely on my list. I'd highly recommend going and checking that out. If you look through my videos, a lot of the videos I make focus on Tohoku because I'm so keen on getting people to come out here and explore it and go off the beaten track a bit, because you can find some really profound, beautiful places, waterfalls, mountains, rice fields. You know, a lot of the sort of romanticized daydreams I used to have about Japan, sort of cycling through rice fields and sitting overlooking volcanoes, all that happened for me when I came and moved to Tohoku. So for me, Tohoku is a very magical place, and you should definitely check it out.
Wonderful. Thanks for the info. In conclusion, is there anything else you'd like to mention?
Yeah, I guess the last thing I'd like to say is a lot of people who want to go to Japan, a lot of people say, oh, I really want to go to Japan, and then they don't go because it's seen as too far away, too expensive to reach. And it is far away and it is expensive to fly here. But when you get to Japan, you'll actually find it's not as expensive as you'd think it would be. There are lots of things you could do. There's hostels, there's capsule hotels that are a lot cheaper than hotels, than standard hotels. You can travel around for a lot cheaper than you think. There's also the rail pass as well. So don't be put off. Don't just disregard Japan because it's expensive. Go and have a look through my videos. There's a video called How Expensive Is It to Travel Japan? And that outlines how much you'd be looking at spending over a two-week period. And hopefully that'll put things in perspective. But yeah, do come and visit Japan. Now's the best time to visit. The country's adapted and prepared itself for foreign tourists in the run-up to the 2020 Tokyo Olympics. So there's English everywhere. Getting around's not too difficult. And people are a lot more prepared and welcoming for foreign tourists now. So do come and check out Japan. Now's the best time. Now more than ever. Especially with the exchange rate as well. That always seems to work in the favour of foreign tourists. So yeah, do come and check it out.
Very encouraging. Thank you again, Chris, for taking time out of your busy schedule to speak with us. Good luck with everything.
Thanks for having me on, Sean. All the best. Yeah, thanks.
In my interview with Chris Broad, Chris mentioned that he is a big fan of the musician Tatsuro Yamashita. Right now, I'd like to share with you two great songs from one of his albums. Here is Sparkle, which will be followed by Music Box.
Wondering your way. 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 la Italia. Melodino a me a casa o nulla gente. Oh, music book. Coolly so so. So le wasa wa ya kana hamon. Mote.
The second half of the J-Pop Exchange will begin right after this.